Ever wonder what it really takes to build a successful IT company, like one that helps other businesses run smoothly and, securely?
Well, that's exactly what we're going to explore today.
Yeah, we're going to dive deep into F12.
An IT services and cybersecurity company.
Right. And we're really lucky to have had this amazing conversation with the company's founder.
And we're here to share the most valuable insights with you.
Yeah, for you, the listener, this is like a cheat sheet to the evolution of the IT world and all the cybersecurity challenges everyone's dealing with.
Our main source is this audio recording of our chat with the founder of F12.
So think of this as a mission.
To understand F12's journey
Yeah, like what were those big moments for them?
and how are they helping their clients deal with today's tech problems.
And of course, you have to get some advice for anyone who's thinking, hey, maybe cybersecurity's for me.
Sounds good. So let's get started. Tell me about how F12 started.
Well, the story begins way back in 1996,
Wow.
like a different tech world, really.
Yeah.
And it all started in the founder's basement. Right, just providing these really fundamental IT services to small businesses.
Yeah, so like setting up computers, early networking, basic tech, support the stuff every business needed back then.
Exactly, and really focusing on using technology to help these businesses run better.
It's amazing to think how much things have changed.
Oh, absolutely. And in the early days, the company had a couple different names.
Oh, really?
Nothing that really stuck.
Yeah.
But then in 2011, right before 2012, they switched to F12.
F12. It's catchy, I'll give them that.
Yeah, it is. But what's the story there? Is it some tech term?
You'd think right,
Yeah.
but it's really simple. The founder wanted a name that was easy to remember and could be tied to their support.
Okay.
And he noticed the F12 key on his keyboard didn't have a standard function back then.
So an unused key becomes a company name.
Exactly. It was like a blank canvas. And, sometimes a number and a name makes it more memorable.
That's clever.
So F12 stuck, but it gets better.
Oh.
They actually use F12 as the name for their support portal.
Oh, that's cool. So how does that work?
So if a client needs to like report an issue or check on a project or even add a new employee, they just use the F12 portal.
Okay.
And it's all linked. So if
Oh.
they update something like add a user, it updates everything, Active Directory, their contracts, their entire Microsoft setup.
So email, cloud storage, the whole works.
It makes things so much easier for their clients.
Yeah, one name that simplifies everything. But I'm sure it wasn't all smooth sailing.
Oh, definitely not.
Every business has those moments.
Like, oh shoot, what now?
Exactly. What were some of those for F12?
Well, one of the first big ones was just realizing that running a business is way more than just doing the work.
Like taxes and all that.
Exactly. You
Yeah.
need help. You need accountants.
Yeah. So it's not just about being good at IT. You have to learn all the business stuff too.
Right. And he admitted that wasn't his strong suit at first.
I think that's true for a lot of tech people.
Definitely. But then around 2001, they had this realization.
About.
A better way to serve their clients.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
The idea was to offer all their IT services for one monthly payment.
Like a bundle.
Yeah, it was partly driven by the need for security, especially firewalls. Viruses were a big problem back then.
So instead of charging for each little thing, they packaged it all together.
Right, it was about moving from hourly billing to a steady recurring income.
Makes sense, but that must have been a big change.
It was. The biggest challenge was figuring out how to pay for the hardware.
Because now they're providing the equipment too.
Right. It required a huge investment, millions of dollars.
Wow, so how did they swing that?
The founder actually got the money from a former client who had just sold his own company.
That's awesome.
Talk about believing in someone.
Right.
And that allowed them to launch their hardware as a service offering.
So they were basically doing managed services before it was even a thing.
Exactly. And this wasn't like those big enterprise services from IBM. This was for small and medium
They were
businesses.
ahead of the curve.
And it paid off. By the mid-2000s, almost 90% of their revenue was recurring.
That's huge. So let's jump to today.
Okay.
What are the big problems F12 is tackling for their clients now?
The founder highlighted two main areas, AI and cybersecurity.
They're practically inseparable these days.
Right. The bad guys are using AI for all sorts of malicious stuff.
Like phishing scams and finding vulnerabilities.
Exactly. And it's happening at a massive scale. So you need advanced security to keep up.
It's like a digital arms race.
For sure. And F12 is really focused on testing every security technology they use.
Because
a lot of them don't actually work as well as they claim.
That's a bit scary.
It is. You can't just trust what the vendors say.
Right.
But it's not just about defending against AI.
Right. There's a whole other side.
It's also about helping clients use AI to improve their businesses.
And that's a big challenge because AI can seem intimidating to a lot of people.
Especially small business owners who aren't tech experts.
Exactly.
So F12 breaks it down for them. They identify AI tools that are already built into the software they're using.
Okay.
And show them how to use it to be more productive and efficient.
So it's about making AI accessible to everyone.
Exactly. So now, let's say someone's listening and thinking, hey, maybe I want to get into cybersecurity.
What advice did the founder have for them?
The biggest thing he stressed was passion. You have to be genuinely interested in security.
More than just having a degree.
Yeah, a computer science degree is great for the foundation, but you need that natural curiosity.
You have to really want to understand how things work and how to protect them.
Right, and be a good problem solver.
And those skills are in high demand.
They are. There are more and more entry-level cybersecurity jobs now.
So you don't need years of experience to get started.
Right, but you do have to keep learning.
Because
technology changes so fast. Cybersecurity professionals need way more training than regular IT support people.
It's a field for lifelong learners.
For sure. You have to be curious and enjoy solving problems.
But it's not all high-pressure situations.
No, sometimes it's quiet analytical work, too.
So you need to be comfortable with both.
Definitely. And a strong networking background is crucial.
Because
you need to understand how threats move through systems to be able to stop them.
Now let's talk about what the founder called a big blind spot in the industry.
Okay.
The term MDR, Managed Detection and Response.
Oh yeah, I've heard that a lot. What's the problem with it?
He said a lot of companies sell tools and call it MDR, but they don't actually provide true remediation.
So they might detect threats, but not fix them.
Exactly, and they don't manage the overall security outcomes either.
That's a big difference. It's like having a burglar alarm, but no security guards.
That's a great analogy. You need someone to actually respond to the alarm.
Right. And the problem is there are no clear standards for what MDR really means.
So you have to be careful.
Definitely do your research before you buy anything.
Now, thinking about all these threats, how did the founder view operational resilience and disaster recovery?
He said traditional disaster recovery was all about backing up data and restoring it quickly.
Right.
But cybersecurity has changed everything.
How so?
Because hackers can now get into your backups, too.
So your backup plan is no longer safe.
It's a big concern. It's like we're back to square one with data reliability.
So what's the solution?
Having a comprehensive disaster recovery plan is more important than ever.
But it's not just a one-time thing.
Right. It has to be constantly updated and tested.
And you have to train your staff.
Exactly. And he noticed something interesting.
What's that?
Most clients are focused on preventing breaches.
Which makes sense.
But he thinks the focus will shift to operational resilience.
So being able to bounce back after an attack.
Exactly. Because let's face it, some attacks are unavoidable.
So you have to be prepared for both prevention and recovery.
Absolutely. Now, did the founder recommend any books or resources for our listeners?
He didn't have any specific cybersecurity books, but he said Scaling Up has been really helpful for F12.
It's a business development book.
Right. And it's a reminder that even in a tech company, you need to know how to run a business.
That's true for any industry.
He also mentioned he's reading The Bomber Mafia.
What's that about?
It's about resilience in the face of extreme challenges.
Interesting.
He sees a connection to managing tough business situations.
That makes sense.
And his biggest piece of advice was this.
Okay, I'm listening.
Always test any technology you use. Don't just trust the marketing.
Trust but verify.
Exactly, especially when it comes to security.
So let's wrap things up and summarize what we've learned about F12.
Yeah, they started small in a basement and grew into a leading IT and cybersecurity company.
Their big move was switching to a managed services model early on.
They're on the front lines helping clients deal with AI and cybersecurity threats.
And they gave some great advice for anyone interested in a cybersecurity career.
We also talked about that blind spot with MDR.
And how important it is to have a solid disaster recovery plan.
So for you, the listener, we hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of the IT world and the challenges everyone's facing.
It really makes you think about how businesses need to adapt.
Especially with the rise of AI and these sophisticated cyber attacks.
What strategies will they need for protection and recovery in the future?
And how will things like testing and understanding MDR play a role?
It's a lot to consider.
We encourage you to keep exploring these issues.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye for now.